My name is Michelle Owu. I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project. The date today is the 5th of October 2009 and the time is 1:27 p.m. Could you tell me your name, your age and where you're from, please?
My name is Samson Kizito and I'm 29 years old, just about to be 30. And I come from Oxford, but originally I come from Uganda, that's in East Africa.
When did you move over to the UK?
In 2004, October.
So quite recently?
Yes.
What prompted the move? Was it to study or for different reasons?
Yeah, to study and, you know, just to explore, you know, areas, you know, different part of the world, you know, yeah.
What are you studying in Oxford?
I'm not studying actually in Oxford. I just live in Oxford. Yeah. I study in London at a college called Heatherley School of Art, and I'm doing sculpture. Yeah.
What's your particular interest within the area of sculpture?
I like the human form, you know, figurative art, and then I sometimes, you know, would like to do some abstract, you know, so it's at this moment of time I'm just experimenting, you know, with different things, but I'm enjoying it. I love it, yeah. I love it, yeah.
Have you been working as well?
Yeah, I was, yeah. Just some part-time, you know.
Waste.
Yeah, sometimes part-time work, odd jobs. Yeah.
Can you remember how you first heard about this project?
I do remember. I think I read about it somewhere. In a paper, and then I went on the internet, and then I filled out a form. Yeah, it was around June. Yeah, around June.
What was it about this project that appealed to you? Why did you decide to take part?
Actually, when I looked at the project and saw what the artist wanted to achieve, I thought, you know, it was a wonderful idea, you know, just, you know, letting people do whatever they wanted to do, and then thought it was, you know, something good to participate in, because I had the freedom, you know, could have the freedom to do whatever I wanted to do, and, you know, I wasn't kind of restricted like any other thing, so I decided to participate, you know.
Was it easy because there were no restrictions, or was it difficult?
It's kind of hard because you think about a lot of things. Oh, should I do this? Should I do that? And sometimes it's hard to come up with like the conclusive, you know, idea. But at this moment of time, I think I've got one already. Yeah.
Did you have lots of different ideas?
Yes.
How you might spend your time.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Yeah.
When did you find out?
It's about, is it one and you know, a month and about 2 weeks ago, yeah. No? It's a month, yeah.
And how are you going to spend your time now?
I'm going to spend my time just drumming, you know, just drumming. I don't have any particular, I have some particular beats that I know, you know, it's all to do with my culture, because we do a lot of, you know, drumming and for different reasons. And
could you tell me more about that?
About the drumming?
Yeah, and different reasons why.
Okay. Some of it is ceremonial, you know, some of it is like for community, you know, communal, like calling people, you know, for a common cause. If, you know, so you sound a certain type of drum and people will know, people can actually tell, you know, when they hear the sound of the drum, they will know what it means, and if it, for this case, if it's like calling them, they'll go to a certain point and assemble. And then there are other types of beats or drumming, and they're just performed at functions, either whether, you know, it's celebrating birth, you know, harvest, you know, marriage, death. So it's for different reasons, you know, certain, each beat has got a meaning attached to it. And I thought, I would love to, you know, to just to kind of promote my culture and, you know, just drum, you know, and even experiment with other types of beats that will pop out. It will depend on, you know, the energy that I'll have and, you know, what will come up, because sometimes you just create something, you know, within that time. So it's an idea just comes up and say, oh, let me try this type of beat or rhythm. Then, yeah, I'll go with that.
Do you improvise quite a lot?
I do. And actually, for this particular task or idea, I've not brought in an actual drum. I could get a drum, but I decided not to, because I had kind of a container, an empty container. It's in form of a tin, a large tin, in my room where I put all, you know, small things. I just chuck them there to keep them safe. So one time I just, you know, hit on it, and I thought it could give out a sound. It might not be as loud as a drum, but I think I can achieve the beats that I want out of it. So I decided to reuse, you know, something, you know, instead of, you know, going and paying for a drum.
Do you know you don't have a drum?
Sorry?
Do you have any drums at home?
No, I don't have a drum. So for this case, I had to go and hire a drum if I wanted to use an actual drum. But I said, I had the money, but I said, let me reuse something, let me recycle something, because where I come from, which is Uganda, we do a lot of reusing and recycling. We reuse everything, you know, we don't throw away anything. We don't throw away anything. It's not out of, it might not be out of our will, but it's because of necessity. Yeah, because of necessity.
Does it strike you, therefore, as being very wasteful here?
To some extent it is, yeah. To some extent it is. I think some things could be reused, and then you could save, you know, the environment and save some money as well for other things.
Had you come to the UK before you decided to come over to study or not?
No.
First time?
Yeah, it was the first time.
What were your first impressions?
Oh, my first impression was, you know, it's not what I expected. I was shocked, actually. I was shocked because, you know, you see in the movies and you see different documentaries, and, you know, I don't know how to describe it, but it was something different from what I'd expected. And then it was kind of a shock. It was kind of a shock. But after I settled in, you know, I began to like it, because it has, at the same time, it has got a lot, you know, to offer, a lot of things that are going on, you know, there are different cultures. So you learn about people's walks of life, you know, ways of living, and then different things. So it brings you in a mix of different things. It's good. I love it.
Can you tell me a little bit about where you grew up in Uganda?
I grew up in Kampala, Kampala, which is the capital city of Uganda, and I grew up on an estate. Yeah, so yeah, it was in Kampala. It's in Kampala.
What's Kampala like? Can you describe it?
Kampala, I think, it's like the most important city or town in Uganda, and it's where, you know, it's got the most developed infrastructure in the country, you know, and that's where everything is based, mainly, you know, from ministries, hospitals, schools, banks. That's where the best roads are for the country. And then, yeah, that's where it's the economic city of the country, and everyone tends to, you know, come from, you know, up country just to look for better ways of living. Yeah, but it's good because you get more exposed, you know. It's like London in a way, because in Uganda we have different cultures and different tribes, so people come, though it's still the same country, people come from different areas of the country, and then they converge or convene, you know, within the city, and then they mix, so different cultures, and then what is it? Yeah, basically that is it. Yeah.
Have you been back since you started studying?
No, I haven't. I've always been saying, oh, I'm going this time, that time, and things have been coming up, you know, but I hope to go back next year, because okay. I really miss, you know, I miss my family, my friends, and the people, and, you know, the environment, the society, you know, there is something that I miss about everything, you know, my country.
So where are you planning to live when you finish studying?
I would love to live here for some time, but eventually I want to go back to Uganda, yeah, and live there permanently. But that's what I think as per now, but things could change.
And how many years have you been studying sculpture?
I first had a try at it, you know, when I was in Uganda, but it wasn't, I wasn't kind of specialized in it. I was doing different disciplines, you know, related to art, but that's what I've been doing mainly, you know, for the past three years, is, you know, 3 years, yeah.
When did you learn drumming?
Drumming, that's, you know, I'm not a professional drummer, but, you know, as children we used to drum, you know, maybe when you're going to the well to collect water, so it's something, you know, to engage you, you know, because you have to travel for long distances, you know, to go and maybe collect firewood or collect water, or you've been sent somewhere. So if, and you're always a group sometimes of different children, so you think about ways of entertaining yourselves, and drumming was part of it. Yeah, so it was from an early stage, you know.
You mentioned earlier on that there were different drums used at different times to call people different places for different reasons. How do you think you were when you learnt this? Do you remember knowing that when you were very small?
Yes, when I was very small. What age? I think by around 8, 10, you know, I knew, you know, the meanings of, oh, some drums. Yeah, I knew. 8, yeah, around 6 to 10, yeah, 6 to 10, I would say, yeah.
What do you miss most about it?
About home. The war of life and then my culture, you know. Initially, before I came to this country, you know, I was more into the Western, you know. I don't know how to call it, but, you know, I was looking more at the Western kind of lifestyle. But when I came to this country, I think I appreciate more my culture than I did before. So, what I would say that I missed most is, you know, my family, you know, the way our families are, because our families are extended families, and you kind of close, you know, you relate, you know, in different ways from day to day. And then the community and the society as well that you live in, every person seems to, you know, we know about each other, we live as one, you know, though people might be poor, but, you know, we live as one, you know, we're always there for each other. And I miss that most, you know, the interaction between the family and then the members of the community. I think that's what I miss most, yeah.
Did you know about, Anthony Gormley's work before this project?
Yes, I did. I know some of his works, yeah. And I know about the Angel of the North, and then the Westman, and then, you know, he's done some other sculptures that is have been put up on buildings, you know, around London. And then, yeah, what else did it? I know some of his work, not all of it, but yeah, some of it.
Do you like his work? The work that you're
doing? Yes. I actually like his work. I like kind of his style, you know. This tends to simplify, you know, his work, and it's sometimes monumental, and I really like, you know, big things, yeah. So.
Would you like to work in the public art sphere, or?
Yes, I would, yeah. If I got the opportunity, I think, yeah, that would be great, yeah. I'd love to do that.
Are you looking forward to going up on the pitch?
Yes, I am. I am, though I'm a little bit nervous, but yeah, I'm looking forward to going up on the plinth. Yeah, I can't wait.
Anything else you'd like to say?
All I would say is that, you know, I'm happy that I got through, you know, and I'm going up on the plinth. I don't know what to expect, but I'll just take it as, you know, it is, and just go and enjoy myself, and hopefully my improvised drum could be heard, you know, could be loud enough for people to hear the different beats and rhythms, you know, within it. And
have you been in Trafalgar Square many times before? Yes,
I have. And I've been to the National Gallery and then around the square. And my embassy is just, yeah, down the road, so, yeah.
Thank you very much indeed.
You're welcome.